First John chapter 4.
Thank you, Juan. First John chapter 4, and we pick it up at verse 12, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. First John chapter 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher and illuminate this passage to our hearts. Help us also to apply it to our lives, and especially in our church. Bless your word. May it feed our souls. And then, Father, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Your way and your will be done. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All week we've heard of fears of a government shutdown. And, of course, now it's upon us. We're still alive. Have you noticed that fear is something that is marketed in the news just about every day? We live in a fearful world. And although many of us are aware of its dangers, often it is the media that proliferates the fear. And people feed into the fear. And fear sells. The media plays its part well in feeding the need of bad news that has filtered to us, and it persuades us to think in terms of fear and anxiety. It causes us to react in fear of, you know, losing our health, of losing our jobs because of the financial situations. And when it comes to money, really, that hypes up the fear, doesn't it? If we're honest and we're transparent today before God, we recognize that often when money is involved, we often do lack trust. And that opens the door for fear. There are times in our lives that we all have to face the giant called fear. But fear is not something that should be easily accepted by Christians. To possess fear would mean we lack faith, or, as John called it, perfect love. And I'm hoping to be able to explain that to you and hopefully you'll have a better understanding when you leave today of what the Lord wants us to understand. In the passage that I read to you from verse 18, John said there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. There's only one place where we can find perfect love. And of course, that's from God. Because fear hath torment. And I certainly understand that when I think back to the days before I became a child of God. He that feareth is not made perfect. And the word there for perfect is a little bit different than the other word, because it is a different Greek word that conveys the idea of complete. He that feareth is not made complete in love or in God's love. So we're going to look at that. Now, I believe that we all want to feel as though we really have a handle on life and that few things really shake us up. But the reality is we are at times very fearful people. Some people have a fear of growing old. Some have the fear of a simple thing as water. Some have the fear of failure. There are all kinds of fears. In fact, the Greek word used here in this passage and throughout the New Testament is the word phobos. And from that particular Greek word, we get our English word phobia. Phobos, phobia. And we all know that phobia is a term used to describe various kinds of what? Fears or anxieties. Hydrophobia, I already talked about that, is the fear of water. It's real. I know people who have that. And in my 30 years of ministry, we've had two people we could not baptize because they had this hydrophobia, fear of water. There's tachophobia. The guys all know what that is because they know what a tachometer is. Fear of speed. Claustrophobia. And I think everybody knows what that is. Fear of being in a confined or tight place. There are all kinds of phobias. I have learned in my study that there are over 1,000 different kinds of human fears. All of us, even the best of us who really walk with the Lord in a very special way, have fears. But fear can cripple our faith in a hurry. Fear is the result of trusting in ourselves instead of trusting completely in God. God loves you. And that's where this starts. God is what? Love. That was our message last time. We said that you cannot turn that axiom around and make it that love is God. And we talked about the kind of love that God has for us and that we ought to have for one another. But now John is going to go off in a different direction. He's going to talk about this love that comes from God, that if you understand it, you'll not have all these fears. Now, I'm not going to say we'll have none, because we're human beings, right? And we do have fear. But we certainly ought not have a lot of the fears that the world has. I don't fear dying in a worldwide global nuclear disaster. And you know why? Because I trust God completely. And I trust His Word. Yes, there will be Armageddon, but even Armageddon is not going to be a nuclear holocaust. And so those of us who know God, are children of God, and understand the love of God, know that we can trust God. That goes a long way in eliminating fear. There is no fear in this perfect love. In fact, God desires His children to be the channel or the vessels of His perfect love. Verse 12 through 17. Now, I'm not going to labor that long because it's almost redundant of what we've already learned, except for the fact that John extrapolates a little bit more about how we are to love others. He says a very obvious thing that if you're a student of the Word, you already know, that no man has what? Seen God. We go back to the early days of Moses, and we remember the confrontation Moses had with God. He demanded God to come and let me see you. And what did God say? Well, you can see me, but then you're going to die, you know. It's like, I'll tell you, but then I have to kill you, that kind of thing. But he could not, because if he looked on God, what would happen? He would die. And so he saw the back shadow of God. And we realize that when Moses was up there on Mount Moriah, or Mount Sinai, that he was in the very Shekinah glory of God, and it resonated all through him. In fact, it was like, turn it off, you know. Moses, you need to put a veil on. We can't even look at you. Because so powerful was the Shekinah glory of God. So it gives you a little understanding that we cannot come into the presence of God and live. God is a spirit. And so John, you know, he makes this the statement he says that God is a spirit. Now you don't see that written there, but if you can't see God, it's understandable. And we understand that because Jesus said that God is what? A spirit. In John 4, he said to the woman at the well, he said that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we love one another, God what? Dwell within us. You say, well, how that's possible? Well, God is a spirit. So we can dwell in you, which is, you know, which we are, flesh and blood. And so God desires His love to be seen in the world through you. That's the importance of this passage, that you are to be the channel of God's perfect love. Now, before God asked you to do that, He sent His Son, did He not? Jesus Christ, if God were to be a human being, you would say Jesus Christ, but God is much more. But God did become a man, temporarily in a finite situation, never ceasing to be God, that He might manifest Himself in a human being, so we could understand the nature and the attribute of God. And the clearest proof of the love of God is the cross. You know, that's why we have a cross standing on the property of our church. The cross says to our community, this is how much God loves you. And I hope that you notice that the cross is behind the Ten Commandments. Because not one of us have ever been able to keep all Ten Commandments. And so we all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Many years ago, when we first erected that monument of the Ten Commandments, I received some negative phone calls. Folks did not understand why we erected that. Some thought we were being sacrilegious and saying, see how holy we are. One man called me, and we got into a conversation about the Ten Commandments. I said, we are not saying that we are so righteous that we have kept. In fact, we're saying the opposite. I said, do you notice that the Ten Commandments are placed directly behind the cross? I said, there's a reason for that. And he got the illustration. And he realized, wow, that's where the rubber meets the road. Christ died because God so loved the world, He gave His Son to save us who are sinners. We are sinners because we have broken the holiness of God. That's another reason why we cannot come into the presence of God, because He is absolutely what? Holy, and He cannot look upon sin. Apart from Jesus Christ, we could never walk into the presence of God. Amen. Thank be to God for Jesus. Now John writes, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That was the verse that we concluded with last week. And so now he extrapolates and he builds on that. If we love one another, then God dwelleth in us. Verse 12 tells us, God is a spirit and he desires to dwell in his children. And his love is perfected in us. His love is complete in us. That word is very similar to the word in the Hebrew when God brought Eve to Adam. And he realized that through Eve, he was what? Then complete. No man or woman is complete until they are saved. We have a whole lot of people in the world who realize something is missing in their life. How many of you know people like that? And they'll even tell you, I just feel empty. I feel something's missing. You know what's missing? The love of God. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. But it's your choice. It's a decision you must make. Yes, God is a spirit, therefore he is invisible. Jesus did reveal God's love, becoming a man, but he is no longer with us in flesh and blood. And so God has chosen to use our flesh and blood, our physical bodies, through which he shows his love to the world around us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that's why Paul called us ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. We are the channel. We are the conduit of his love. And the only way he can dwell in you is if you know him. And so for all of us who are saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Absolutely. In fact, keep your hand or finger in 1 John and go to Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians a couple of times in our study today. Many of you know this verse. I use it all the time. And there are a number of verses like this in the New Testament. But this is probably one of the clearest. When you come to the point in your life, you realize you are a sinner, that you have violated the holiness of God. The Ten Commandments shows you that. And you realize that God has provided a way for you to be saved so that you are not going to have to ever suffer the punishment or the penalty for your sin. Then it says here in verse 13, and the subject is Christ, in whom you or ye also trusted. When did you trust? After you heard the word of what? Truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you or ye have what? Believed. It's after you believe, not before, but once you believe who the Lord Jesus is and that he died in your place for your sins, paying the full penalty of all of your sins, and rose from the dead. He said at that point, once you have that belief and that faith, then you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And now you become a vessel to be used for God's love. Everybody understand that? Amen. Okay, I hope you do, because the real challenge is coming. If you understand that, and you understand that God is using you to impart His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then you need to understand God's love is perfect. And He loves everyone. And that's where it gets to be the challenge. When we let God's love flow through us, His love is matured or perfected in us. This means that God's love has achieved its ultimate goal, because God never intended that we be the final destination of that love. He wants our love to be contagious. He wants us to be the channels through which His love is to pass to others. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Alright, because we're saved, He imparted to us His Spirit because God is a Spirit. And He is in us. Why is He in us? Because of Ephesians 1:13. I just read it to you. Because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John imparts that because that's the gospel of truth. That's where this all originates from. If you don't believe that part, if you don't believe verse 14, then you can't have the imparted Spirit of God. That's why people need to understand there is no other way to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. But that's very narrow thinking. Well, it's narrow like God. Amen? It isn't us who made the parameters. It's God. In fact, Jesus Himself said, straight is the gate, and what? Narrow is the way. Not broad. Ecumenicalism teaches that the way to God is broad. But Jesus said the opposite. He said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And the sad thing He said is, few there will be that shall find it. Why won't they find it? Because they're looking everywhere else except to Jesus. In fact, today if you tell people you need Jesus, they tell you, get out of my face. I don't want your Jesus. They'll tell you, you're narrow-minded. How dare you just tell me Jesus is the way? And oh, how we need to love them and help them to understand there is no grave where Jesus can be found. But Buddha can. Mohammed can, and so can all of all the old prophets and new ones too. Because none of them had victory over death. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's us, right? We know the Lord. We confess He's the Son of God. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, and many other verses. Then God, the Bible says, dwelleth in him or her. And he is of God. Basically, John's saying, okay, if you're a Christian, then the Spirit of God is in you. You belong to God. And you have a responsibility, which comes in verse 16. And when we have known and believed the love that God hath to us, that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He's just reiterating the facts. Okay? He's making it clear. It's kind of like saying the truth and then repeating it in a different way. Just so that you understand, okay, you're in God, God's in you, now you have a responsibility. Herein is our love made. Again, there's that word perfect, which is the word teleos in the Greek, which means to be made complete. Here is the way our love is made complete or whole. That we have boldness in the day of judgment because as He is, so are we in the world. John's going to talk about this thing called fear. He says, because when you have this kind of love, there is no fear in love. Again, you got to study that. From its origin, the word love is agape love. It comes from God. If God is in you, He loves you. Okay? And you know His love. And you can trust Him. The fact of the matter is, often we don't. Because we want to take the reins of our life. The greatest fear I had was dying many years ago before I was saved. I kind of grew up in a church that taught that if you died with a particular sin, you would suffer hell for all eternity. That's a torment. And I understood that torment once I read this, because that's exactly what I went through. But once you become a child of God, you know the worst thing that's going to happen to you one day is that you're going to die. And it isn't so much that we as children of God should fear dying. I know we fear how we might die. That's just human nature. But we don't have fear of dying because the moment that we die, absent from the body, we are what? present with the Lord. Our two candidates that came today for membership in the Dover First Baptist Church were asked, where will you go when you die? Unequivocally, both of them said heaven. Why? Because it wasn't based on them. They know that they are saved, and that they have trusted in the Lord Jesus to save them, that God loves them. God loves you. Herein is our love made perfect. He says that we, now watch, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, in the day of judgment, I'm not going to have to worry about standing before God and God saying, guess what? You have lived a life displeasing to me. Depart from me, worker of iniquity. He's never going to say that. Why? Because he's not going to see my righteousness. Again, there was a day where I stood in fear and torment at the judgment of God. You know, the Bible many times tells us we're the fear of God. If you study that word in the Old Testament, it's about having a respect for God. God does not desire us to fear Him as His children, because perfect love casts out that fear, right? The moment you come to know God as His child and you're born again, you don't fear God that way anymore. Yes, you respect God. Those that should fear God are those who are separated from God. And over again, the Bible tells us. And once we have this perfected love, then we need to share it with others. You know, recently I've noticed on television that Interstate Batteries is doing a commercial that promotes the love of God. How many of you have seen that? Haven't seen that? It just started about, I guess maybe a month ago, a new commercial. Here's what Norm Miller, who's the chairman of Interstate Batteries, said. By the way, they've been around for years. Quote, it just came in my heart and my mind that we need more of God's love. Amen. Well, where are we going to get it? Can we go to the bank and get it? Can we go to a church and open up a vault and get it? We need more of God. Where are you going to get it? Yes, thank you, Sally. Get it right here. You and me. And that's why he's putting these commercials out. The main purpose of the commercial is to inform people and to remind people that God's love is available for us and He wants to help us live a life where we love one another so others can see God in us. I really appreciate that. And I thank Norm Miller for his boldness in producing those commercials. Keep your eye open for that. The commercial starts out with a guy in a car and his battery's dead and the guy behind him is angry and he's shaking his fist at him. But then you see these hearts of love because he's thinking about God and how God would respond to this. Real love is an action, isn't it? It's taking an action. And the way the world tells you love is to be implemented, is to be understood, is through feelings. That's not true. Because our feelings change every day, don't they? Even how you feel about each other can change every day. But God's love for you never changes. It's absolute. Because it's based on action. And He proved that action through His own Son. And then it produces selfless, sacrificial love for others. Therefore, our church, as a body, is to have a love for the world. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, complete. But we have this boldness. Now, if you have this boldness, don't you want to share that? Reminds me of the old the movie that came out many years ago called The Music Box. Guy had this music box and he opened it up and oh, what joy. Every time he opened the little music box, he just felt peace and love. He closed it up and when people walked by, hit it. And the moral of the movie is not to hide it, you share it. And that's what God wants us to do. Verse 18, he says, because there's no fear in this love. Once you can get a person to come to know how much God loves them through Christ, they'll not have the fear that they have. And I truly understand it, being at one time very fearful of God. I think I shared with you how I would lay in bed at nights, break out in cold sweats, thinking if I die tonight, I'm forever going to burn in hell because God is angry with me. I literally feared God and it was a torment. I have no such fear now. And God wants us to share that with others because there is no fear in this love. But perfect love casteth out, or the word there could be alleviates fear. Once we have God, these kind of fears are alleviated. And by the way, it also helps us to alleviate natural fears that we have. He that feareth is not made what? Complete in love. A person that fears God in the way where he's tormented or she is tormented does not understand the love of God and they're not saved. And again, I can relate to that and so can some of you. But once you came to know Christ as your Savior and you were born again, you realize God loves me. I have nothing to fear. He's my Father. He's my loving, compassionate Father. And all that He does for me is for my profit. Oh yes, He may chasten us, the book of Hebrews says, but does not a good father chasten his sons or his children whom he loves? Let's finish it up. Verse 19, we don't take any credit. Verse 19, don't take any credit for bringing people to Christ and helping them to understand the love of God. You don't take any credit. I don't take any credit. All the glory goes to God. Sometimes I get upset. People will say, oh, Pastor Pacino saved me. I ain't saved anybody. You know, if you think I've saved you, look out, because you're not. But Jesus saved you. All I am is the conduit, the channel, the messenger. And if we truly know the love of God, then we need to be that channel. We need to be that conduit. We need to be that messenger. We need to be that ambassador. Because how is the world going to know the love of God? God is a spirit. They're looking around. Where is God? Where is God? He's right here. He's right here. That puts a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't it? Because people are looking at us. And now you understand that they need to see God in us. Say, how can I do that, Pastor? You can't. But you can if you rely on the Holy Spirit. And you feed the Spirit. You know, if you get up in the morning and all you do is feed yourself, you know, worldly things. I don't turn the news on first thing in the morning. I turn it on, but I don't turn it on first thing in the morning. I go to the source of life. The bread of life. The living water. Because I want people to see the Lord and God's love through me. But when I feed my flesh, sometimes, you know, feeding your flesh can just get you angry, can't it? And then you go out there in the world and you run into your peers and your co-workers and your family and your friends and they don't see God in you because you're so aggravated, frustrated with the world that it's emulating right from you. That commercial says it all. I hope you get to see that sometime this week. Let's finish this. He says, we love Him because He first loved us. Give Him the credit. And then he finishes it with this. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother. Now, strong language here. Says he is a what? Liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? So the proof is in the pudding, as they say. If you hate your brother, how can you say God dwells in you? Because this is the commandment we have from Him, from the Lord, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Interesting that God says such a person who says he hates his brother is a hypocrite. He's a liar. Because love for God and love for others cannot be separated. That's like saying, I love swimming, but I hate water. You get it? According to the Bible, loving God and loving others are inseparable. And I know that this puts tremendous challenge on us. But you know what, folks? That's why we're here, aren't we? That we could become more like Jesus. Because this world out there needs it. Jesus said, one of these, to the Pharisees, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That means those two commandments sums up the entire Bible. What God desires. God gave us the Bible so we can know Him and that we can come to know His Son that we may have eternal life. His command is to love our neighbors and to grow in our faith. And loving our neighbors causes us to grow in our faith. I want to close with this. If you're not utilizing this, you cannot grow in your faith. And you cannot become all that God desires you to be. God is a spirit. He's in you and He's trying to conform you to be all that He desires you to be. But we kind of turn from it. And we fight God against it. God's trying to bend us to the way He wants us to go. He'll never force us, but He's trying to mold us. Here's an illustration. I'm going to close with this. But I hope it helps you understand what this love in us is supposed to do. Many years ago, a man gazed at the cliffs of the South Dakota Black Hills. When I first read that, I went, yeah, I would too if I knew there was gold there, which there was many years ago. But this man, he envisioned what no one else could see. And on the cliffs of that South Dakota Black Hills, he envisioned four U.S. presidents, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt. That man's name was Gustin Berdalum. He and his crew were suspended on ropes 500 feet above the valley floor. And they used everything from chisels to dynamite to create that 5-story high illustration, picture. And it took 14 years to complete the project. They say, Pastor, why are you telling us that? The artist knew that there was that image in that rock because he saw it with an artist's eye and he could create it out of the raw material, but it had to be worked. And so it is with God. God wants to do a work in you, and He's working in you through His Spirit. With His artistic eye, He sees the potential in every one of us, and by the way, in every church. And with His loving hand, He begins to make us a monument to Himself. You can't do that if you're not going to let Him use the chisel of love. You are made complete and perfect in His love. Now, as a pastor, I understand this a little more because I had a calling. But I also had a choice. I could have chose not to surrender my life and become a pastor. Thank God that I did. Was it easy? Has it been easy? No. But you'll never be happier from doing that which God created you to do. I hope this message has been a blessing, and I hope that as you studied this passage with me today, you have a better understanding of it. Oftentimes, this passage is just talked about in a very superficial way. But I believe that John and God intended it for you and I to understand how much He loves you and that you are the vessel of His love. And by you doing that, you become more and more what God desires you to be. And when you don't, you become more in the flesh. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I've done the best I can today. Maybe I have fallen short. So I pray the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot do. Lord, help us all to be the avenue of your love into a dark and dying world. Lord, I agree with my brother, Norm Miller. What the world needs more of is your love. And you have made your church, your children, to be the vessels of that love, the conduit of that love, and the ambassadors of that love. So, Father God, may you today help all of us to accept that challenge and to realize as we take that commission, you are making us to be a beautiful monument unto yourself. Lord, if there is one among us today that may not be saved, they do not understand the holiness and the love of God, may today they, by simple faith, come to say, Father, thank you for saving me. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, knowing He died and rose again from the dead to justify me. And now, Lord, impart to me your Holy Spirit forever. And take away the fears that are in my life. And Lord, we know that you will be true to your word. Bless, Father, these good folks. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook as we close the service today. Turn our attention to hymn 308. There is no other plea but to call out to the Lord and trust Him by simple faith. 308, the first stanza will be dismissed.